Amen. And be seated, please. We are in the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation, chapter 1, and lesson 4 as we go through the book of Revelation. Lesson 4, the assignment is revealed. What was John's assignment? What was he supposed to do? What did God have for him? And when I think of that, I think of the fact that God has something for me to do. God has something for you to do. And certainly John used in a great way, and we can be used in a great way as well. Whatever God's will is for our lives is a great thing. There cannot be anything better than that. Just the fact that we're saved and we have a home in heaven and have that wonderful, blessed hope. Wow, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. And then God will use us. That's an amazing thing. And so anyway, lesson 4. Do you need lesson 4, anyone? Raise your hand if you do. Lesson number 4. Anyone need that? All right. We have one over here. Sandy needs that. And Kendra needs that, I believe. We have a couple folks now. Hands are going up. So all over. Do you have any more of those, Jim? Hello? They're working on it back there. Are you having to make more? Or?
Yes.
All right. They're so popular. Thousands are going out by the day. Just kidding. But anyway, we do have some folks that that are following our study online, and so they do get the lessons as well. So that's exciting and a blessing. And probably we could do a whole lot more with it, but the pastor is, I'm just not very learned in that yet. I've still got a lot to learn as far as the internet and all those things. I just recently, David got me an iPhone. And again, it's one of those, okay, how do you make a call on this thing? That's the most, let's learn how to call somebody. Yeah, look at this. It does this. It does. Okay, but I want to call people, okay? I just want to call, make a phone call. So anyway, it's very interesting. All right, how many of you think it's hot in here at this time? Anyone besides me? Okay, it seems to be mostly up here in the front. Brother Collins, I'm sure you, Don, you know how to adjust that, don't you? If you would, I would appreciate it. I don't see Kelvin around, so Revelation 1:19 is our verse to memorize with lesson 4. So go ahead and turn there or look right at your lesson, and we will say that together. We'll say the reference and the verse and then the reference and begin. Revelation 1:19. Write the things which thou hast seen and the things which are and the things which shall be hereafter. Revelation 1:19. And again, Revelation 1:19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Revelation 1:19. Father, please bless now our time of studying. We thank you for the beautiful songs that we can sing about you. And Lord, I pray that we are thrilled that we're saved, that we're thrilled about the resurrection, that we're thrilled about our home in heaven, that we're thrilled about our church and the privilege that we have to come and gather and to hear the Word of God preached, that we're thrilled about the future that we have. God, what a amazing thing it is to think about what you've done for us. And so help us now to love you by listening to your Word and listening to your Spirit as you speak to us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. The assignment is revealed. Number one, Roman numeral one, to see what God reveals to him. The assignment to John was to see some things. He makes that very clear in verse 11. He says, what thou seest, write in a book. He is to see some things. He is to hear some things, as we've already talked about. And he needs to be observant of those things. It is God's will to show him some things. Amen? And that's exciting to think about. It is God's will for him to see those things. It is God's will to show him some things. You know, I think there's some things God would like to show us today. I think that's why we come to church. We don't come to church to impress each other, or, you know, to show our new Easter bonnet or whatever it is. You know, we come to church because we want God to show us some things. I need to see some things from God. When I pray, when I take some time out and I talk to the Lord, I want God to show me some things. I want God to teach me some things because I need those things. And John, you know, so again, we look at John and we say, well, you know, John, he's special. Well, he is, and there's no question about that. But God wants to show us some things too. God wants to show us what he showed John. We'll find that out as we continue to study that John's supposed to write down what he sees, and that's so we can see it, so we can read it. And it was God's will to show him some things. It was what he had to do. It was what John needed to see those things. And again, I remind you that very clearly verse 10 says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And, you know, if you want God to show you something, if you want God to do something in your life, then yield to his Spirit. You know, every now and then, and certainly these days with the King James Bible and the naysayers are out there and everything, and well, it's just too hard to understand. Let me tell you, if you yield to the author, I'll be honest with you, you can understand it. Now you may not understand everything in a particular verse, because God might want to save that verse, that thing out of that verse for 20 years later on. You know, how many of you will testify you've read the Bible for many, many years, but you learn something new every year? I guarantee you, I learned something new. But, you know, you're not going to learn it all the first day. You're not going to learn, you know, well, I read through my Bible last year and I only learned 365 things. Well, one thing a day. Isn't that great? And guess what? If you do it next year, you'll learn something else too. It's not that it's a new truth. The truth is always there. It always has been there. But it's as the Holy Spirit reveals things that are in his Word. That's how the Word of God. Understand, folks, and I'm really getting excited about next week and what we're going to do and some things I'm going to be preaching about. You know, this book is a supernatural book. It's not just any other book. A lot of people want to treat it like it's just a book. Okay, a lot of Christians do. Amen. And it's sad. I'm talking about a lot of denominations. It's just a book. You know, the preservation's not important. The inspiration's not important. How we got it doesn't matter. I mean, there's good words in there and good thoughts in there, and they'll help you. No. Understand this, folks. It's a supernatural book. I didn't say a magic book. It's beyond that. It is God's Word. It is God's words to you and I. It is supernatural. And when you think about that and you realize that, again, it should mean so much to us. So when we come to church, when we open our Bible to read it, look for supernatural things to happen in your life. But they happen as we yield to the Holy Spirit of God. And you and I both know, when you're backslidden, you don't get a whole lot out of church. You don't get a whole lot out of Bible reading. I know people. I've how many would say, oh, this is tough. You hate to admit this. How many would say, yes, I have read the Lord, read the Bible before, when I'm backslidden? How many would say that? All right. Most of us have, right? And you know what? It just doesn't do the same thing. You might even read in the Psalms and all you get is conviction. You might read in the Psalms about praising and God's good and all that kind of stuff, and you just, you know, you're convicted, and you're not learning a whole bunch of new things because, you know, you're backslidden, you're away from God. But as you yield to the Spirit, I challenge you every service, before the service, Holy Spirit, I yield to you. I yield to you to work in my life. God, I yield to you. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. And I'm going to tell you, if you do that when you read his Word, Don't get in this thing, well, I'm reading my five chapters a day, and listen to me. Before you read, just stop for a moment and just say, Lord, I yield. Speak to me. I yield to you. And it'll change your life. Now see, there I go preaching again. But you know, that's what John was yielded. And John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And his yielding went well beyond how he felt, because he didn't feel too good, I'm sure. Understand this, and we'll get into this in the next between today and next week. But understand, yes, the words, every word, each word that John wrote was given by God. What's amazing is God allowed John to see these things so it could affect him. You know, sometimes in the Bible, Daniel, many of the things that he experienced, he said, I don't understand this. I don't know what this is. But God said to write it, or God said to, he put the words in my mouth. John said, you know, God said to John, I want you to see it, and I want you to hear it, and I want you to write it. What you see, what you hear, and God gave him the words. But look at a couple of verses. Luke 2, verse 20. We'll get into that in just a few minutes. Luke 2, verse 20. Bible says here, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Boy, I'll tell you, there would be a whole lot more glorifying and praising God if we would just be open to what the Holy Spirit of God wants to show us and wants us to hear. There'd be a lot more praising, a lot less griping, amen, if we just let God speak to us and show us. Acts 4 and verse 20. Acts chapter 4 and verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And again, he was ready to see because he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Let me ask you, did you come today ready to see and hear what God had for you? Did you come ready? The days of my growth as a Christian have always been days where I was open, ready for the Spirit of God to do something in my life. You know, we all are busy. We all have a lot going on. I've got a lot of things that have really been on my heart, and yet, you know, we should take that time to let God know, God, I'm open, I'm ready. If it costs me some time, if it costs me some effort, if it's something you want me to do, if it's something you want me to read, if it's something you want me to speak, then I'm yielded. I'm yielded because I want to see and hear everything that you have for me. Revelation 22, verse 8. Revelation 22 and verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And, you know, because he was in awe of the things that he saw and the things that he heard. You know, we say this often, well, I'm going to go to church to worship God. And you know, I understand what you're saying. I'm not necessarily, you know, really, worship is something we do apart from church. I mean, if you want to really be specific of the scriptures. But again, I'm not, you know, other than the offering time and stuff like that, it is more of our private time with the Lord. But notice here, John very clearly, he said, first I saw and I heard, and then it caused me to worship. It caused me to praise God. It caused me to tell God how wonderful He is. And again, to see and to hear, you have to be yielded to the Spirit. Matthew 13, verse 11. Matthew 13 and verse 11. I hope you write these down. We go so fast, and I know you don't think we're going fast, but I think I'm going fast. Matthew 13, 11. He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. But this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they shall see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. And I would hate to be one of those who didn't see and didn't hear that which God wanted me to see and hear. I would hate to be one of those. That's why in anything in our lives, we have no reason to gripe, complain, or anything. Because it may be that God is just wanting you to see and hear something that you need to see and hear. How many times have I gone back to Paul and Silas in prison and they're beaten? There's lashes, lash marks, blood marks on their backs. They've been beaten, and at midnight they're praising the Lord. I mean, I've gone back there many, many times. Okay? Did they ask to be put in jail and beaten? Well, of course not. Was that part of their plan? Of course not. But is it what happened, and was it the will of God? Must have been. We rob ourselves of things God wants us to see and hear because we don't like the circumstances that bring us to those things that he wants us to see and hear. And thank God, John was in the Spirit. He yielded to being on the Isle of Patmos so that he could see and so that he could hear. And notice here, to see what God reveals him, what thou seest, write. What thou seest, not up to his own opinion. And we know, as far as inspiration is concerned, that God gave him the words to say. But again, he got to see these things. And what an amazing thing. I mean, after God speaks to our heart, we have no right to change it. We have no right. When God deals with us, let's consider that. Do you ever alter what God spoke to your heart about? I've seen it happen many, many times. I've watched young people in tears surrender to do something that God told them to do. They're convinced. And, but after a while, all the naysayers get a hold of them. It's like, well, I was just emotional, or I didn't mean it, or whatever, And I think, man, you have no right to alter what God said. I'm not talking about something mama said or dad said or the preacher said. I'm talking about God spoke to your heart. Often in counseling, I will say, okay, when were you the most right with God? When that took place or now when you're denying it? And you know what? It happens so often. Well, it was when that took place. How can we deny that which God has shown us? How can we alter that which he's revealed to us? How can we whitewash or sugarcoat some sin that God has put his thumb on in our lives? And he said, get this out of your life. But boy, we'll find every kind of way, won't we? We'll come to the altar and it's like, wow, God spoke to me about this. I know he wants me to quit doing this. I know he wants me to get rid of this. There's no doubt about it. But then, just a few weeks later, well, God didn't mean that. Folks, we're no different than the people wanting to change the Bible. We have no right to alter that which God has told us. God has revealed us. Again, I'm not talking about writings across the sky. I'm talking about stuff you know in your heart. I'm talking about things I know in my heart. And we have no right to alter what He has revealed to us. So many times, instead of being in the Spirit, we're in the flesh and we cancel out that which God has spoken to us about. So many times, instead of being in the Spirit, we get in the flesh and we push away those things God wants to show us and those things God wants to do with us because our flesh just does not like it. I thank God and have for many, many years, I thank God for all the trouble that I had in college. Not trouble with college as far as that goes, but we had financial problems. We had many kinds of problems just growing in the Lord. And I thank God that over and over and over again, when my flesh said, you need to just get out of here and go back to RCA and make lots of money and forget this thing, you know, my flesh would say that, but my spirit always said, but God called. I had people say to me, well, you could be a deacon in the church and make lots of money. You don't need to go into the ministry. You can do something in the church and be busy in the church and reach lots of people in the church. You don't have to go off to Bible college. And my flesh liked that. Don, you know what I'm talking about. You know, when you were going to the mission field. I mean, that flesh, it likes that idea. But folks, let's not alter that which God has revealed to us. Let's not whitewash those sins that God has pointed out in our lives. Let's not sugarcoat that message that God gave to us through the preaching of His Word or through the reading of His Word. Let's understand that God has something He wants to reveal to us, just like He did to John. Again, I'm not talking about weird stuff. I'm talking about just good Bible truth that God wants to show us so we can grow and be exactly what He wants us to be. Number one, to see what God reveals to him. Number two, to script what he sees. You say, why didn't you say to write what he sees? Well, because I needed something to start with an S. And every now and then, see, I do not say my outlines are infallible. I do not say my outlines are inspired. I do try to alliterate them. So sometimes it's a stretch on the word. But anyway, to script what he sees. So, the Bible says in verse 11, what thou seest, write in a book. Notice verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Write. Just like God had him write John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Write. Now here he says, okay, I'm going to show you some things and I want you to write those things. I want you to understand though that every word that John writes, God gives. Every one of them. That's an amazing thing. Absolutely amazing. Because God's word, notice Psalm 119 verse 89. This is all kind of leading into next week. Psalm 119 verse 89. Let's just look at how long God's Word's been around. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Forever. Eternal. Forever, we like to think of forever. Most of the time we think of it as it'll always be. But understand this. It's always been. Settled. God's Word is settled. I like that. Settled forever. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When was that? It was in the beginning was the Word. The Word of God, forever, it's settled in heaven. That's an amazing thing. Man didn't just come up with the words. I know in our casual Christianity today, that's what people think. Folks, somebody better come out and say, no, these are God's words. They are not man's words. They are not man's thoughts. They are God's words. God's word has always been. We didn't just figure it all out. And that's an exciting thing. 2 Samuel 23:2. 2 Samuel 23:2. Again, just to kind of understand John here, 2 Samuel 23 and verse 2. The Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue." Psalm 45 and verse 1. Just giving you a couple verses to think about, chew on. Psalm 45 and verse 1. "My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." I like that. That is so good. John was yielded to the Spirit of God so the Spirit of God could give the Word of God, every word, each word, to him as he watches everything that is taking place. And wow, what a blessing. He says, write in a book. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 is the verse that we use often to talk about the inspiration of the Scriptures. And whatever we do, we cannot get away from God's Word being God-breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. By the way, what would a man of God do if he did not have the Word of God? What would any Christian do if he didn't have the Word of God? It has to be God's Word. It has to be God-breathed, as the Scripture says very, very clearly. Otherwise, it would not be profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, because it would be the words of man. It is God-breathed. 2 Peter 1, verse 20. 2 Peter 1 and verse 20. Another familiar couple of verses, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. None. Okay, it's either supernatural, it's not, because it says the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Understand, John is not giving his opinion. John is not telling you, this is just how I feel. John is giving the words that God gave him, and he is writing those words as he observes the things that are taking place. He's not just, I kind of feel like this, and this is what I want to tell you. No. God's words matter. Every word. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake, how? As they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And God moved John and gave him the words. God showed it to him and gave him the words to describe everything. He used him to write. And then God miraculously and supernaturally preserves everything that's written. And that's the amazing thing about the Word of God. Is the whole thing is supernatural. We start talking about our King James Bible, and we understand that we speak English. Well, most of us do. I'm not sure if texting is English or not. I saw a texting dictionary the other day, and that scares me. But anyway, we speak English, and the English speaking people. Let's be honest. It has been a miraculous thing. America is a miracle. Wouldn't you agree? I'm talking about old America, and even today it's a miracle. Look at America, how different we are, and understand we speak English, and God gave us His Word preserved for us in the King James Bible that we can. the Word of God for the common person to understand and to read and to memorize. And, you know, it amazes me. Some of these theologians that want to criticize the King James, well, you know, you can't understand it. And I'll take them over to our first and second grade class over there in our school, and those little kids will quote that. They'll recite that. Our kindergartners, they'll recite it. They can explain what it means. You know, now you can't, yeah, they can't explain everything that it means, but they can understand. You know, for God so loved the world. What's that mean? God loves me. Wow, that's what it means. Anyway, I'm getting way off on this, but notice Psalm 12, Book of Psalms, and chapter 12. Psalms 12 and verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. Okay, that's what words are those? Well, those words have always been. Okay, they've always been. There's not been, again, to understand the eternality of God goes well beyond my comprehension. Okay, would you agree with that? Can we agree that I have to accept eternality by faith? I've not been in eternity past. Now I'm headed into eternity future, and after several million years in eternity future, I can describe a little bit about eternity past. Because it'll be several million years old. But anyway, that causes hair to fall out as well, because but just because I don't understand it doesn't change the fact that God said it. It doesn't change the fact that it's true. Just because I can't understand it. I've got a few young people that come into me, and they haven't got a, they're really having a hard time with algebra 2. And I looked at the problem, and we went down in the teen room and got around the pulpit there. That's an interesting place to deal with algebra 2. And they came around, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, that's not even hard yet. But they're looking at it, they don't understand it. Well, I understood it. But they didn't understand it. Some of you might even not understand it. But that doesn't mean it's not true. I saw one of our ninth grade boys. I saw his English, I think it was a test, and it was diagramming sentences. And it was a boy. And he had that thing perfect. He had the little lines and little dot, dot, dot. I mean, I'm looking at that, and I was in shock because, you know, when I was in ninth grade, diagramming sentences was, it just didn't make sense to me at all. I didn't understand it, and I couldn't pop, you know, it just was tough. And some of you might struggle with that, you know. But he understood it. Now, just because I don't understand that, I don't understand. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. It's hard for me to grasp that those words have always been and that they are absolutely perfect. But here's something I can hold on to right here. Is verse 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Is that up to us? No. Who's that up to? It's up to God. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Does that mean he's keeping them for French-speaking people? Yes, it does. Does that mean that he's keeping them for Spanish folks? Sure it does. Okay, do I understand all that? Of course not. And it's not for me to understand. It's for me to believe. God's going to keep those words. And it says this, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Do you know when Jesus used Scripture, he had the Word of God. And he quoted the Word of God. And, you know, for us to somehow think that man has anything to do with that is pretty foolish. It's right in there with the idea that man has something to do with their salvation. It really is. Come on, and we're celebrating Easter. And Jesus died on the cross, and up from the grave he arose. He arose. He arose. Well, the angel had to move the stone, but he was already out of there. Why did the angel move the stone? Because we couldn't. We had to see in. I'm just saying, you know, God preserves what was written. And according to Revelation 22, verse 18, I'm really getting it. I can't help it, folks. I'm a preacher. Revelation 22, verse 18 For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. It is complete. Ushers, I need you to come. We need to collect some money. I'm running out of time, as I always do, it seems. Canon complete. The Word of God, we have it. In English, we have it. God preserved it. Do the French have it? I believe they do. I believe they do. But again, that's not, it's not up to me to try to figure that out because I speak English. If God called me to be a missionary to the French, I'd better figure it out. I'd better figure out where that is. Don probably knows. Portuguese. You know Portuguese. All right? You know, we make it far more complicated than we ought to make it. When you tell your children, your grandchildren, that God has given us His Word, okay, you either believe that or you don't believe that. You say, well, you know, they're going to have to learn textual criticism. No, they're not. No, they are not. Well, they're going to have to know about the manuscript. No, they don't have to know about the manuscripts. And if you try to pull this one off, that, well, we don't have the originals. And you somehow make it look like, since we don't have the originals, that we don't have the Word of God, then why in the world would they ever come to church? Because if we don't have the Word of God, then we don't have a clue what to do. Then everybody must be right. By the way, those are the largest churches today. They're saying, everybody's right. We're not going to tell you what to do. We're not going to tell you what's right. We're not going to tell you what's wrong. We're just going to tell you to do what feels good. So that's the growing churches in the world. But you know what? It's always been that way. Because there is a way that seemeth right to a man. And the end thereof is are the ways of death. But again, understand this. It's always been man just kind of wants to do what man wants to do. Secular humanism, man is the measure of all things. Who can tell us? We're men. How can anybody tell? We're going to build a tower and it's going to reach to heaven and that'll take care of things. And God can confuse the languages. But you know what? Even in the confusing of the languages, God said, I've preserved my word, so you will have it. And thank God that we have the Word of God, every word. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you that as a 17-year-old boy, I heard those precious words and realized I was lost and on my way to hell. And Lord, I obeyed what you said in your word, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Lord, all these years now, I've believed that was what you said, and that if I did that, I'd be saved. And I know today, though the devil argues all the time, I know that I'm going to heaven because you said so in your word. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your word. Thank you for the resurrection. And we know it because your word says so. Thank you. Thank you. Bless the morning service, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll take a few minutes to have the morning service.